the podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.uk.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for Elaine. Thank you that you have been working through her and preparing this series of talks this weekend. Lord, we thank you for the exciting topic that we're going to be thinking through, the book that we're going to be thinking through. And we just ask that you bless this time with us, that you speak to us through it. Lord, would we just have the most wonderful, encouraging weekend just filled with your presence and spirit, Lord. So we invite you here. Would you bless Elaine and bless us, keep us awake to hear it, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Keep me awake as well. Keep us all awake. I mean, imagine having to speak after sticky toffee pudding. And imagine you've to listen after sticky toffee pudding. Well, listen, I'm delighted to be here this weekend. It really is good to be amongst us. I do feel as though I'm in the deep south. If anybody's got trouble with my accent, then I'm sure there's somebody around that could act as interpreter. But I'll try, you know, to not speak too quickly, and I'll try not to use too many Glasgow words, because we do have quite a few words that are unique to Glasgow. I live in Glasgow and I work in Edinburgh. I like to keep the country covered. I hope you've come to the weekend with a certain level of anticipation about what might happen. Not just because somebody else is making the meals and you're in amongst friends, you're looking forward to getting to know new people, and there's a lovely beach that you can go and walk along or just look at, and there's another hotel that you can walk to for your coffee, you know, just to make for a bit of variety. But I hope you've also come with an expectation that God will do something amongst us. And it's my experience, I suppose, because I've been involved with events like the Keswick Convention and Spring Harvest, where people choose to come away in order to spend a wee bit more kind of focused time with the Lord. It's made me really appreciate that the Lord seems to honour our willingness to set aside time and to give a wee bit more time to listen to him. So I hope you've come ready and willing to do that, but also with open hearts and open minds, that God will be at work amongst us. And it's not just in these sessions where we, you know, kind of focus on his word, because God speaks to us in a variety of different ways. But for sure, we pray that he will speak to us as we look at his word together. And because it's late, and because we've got a whole weekend, I've decided we'll do something a little bit different. Okay, so I haven't got four talks in my pocket ready to deliver. Okay, and I'm not going to stay up late tonight preparing the other three. Okay, because what we're going to do this weekend is we're going to work together. And we're going to study the book of Haggai. He's one of the minor prophets in the Old Testament, and you don't need your Bibles tonight. Imagine the CEO of the Scottish Bible Society says you don't need your Bibles tonight. So I want you to put your Bibles away. You can open them tomorrow. But we're going to look at the book of Haggai, and you might ask, well, Elaine, why on earth are we doing Haggai? Well, it does sound like the plural of haggis. So that's one good reason. The other is in the New Living Translation, it starts on the 29th of August, the word of the Lord came to Haggai, and I was born on the 29th of August. So there's another good... Are you a 29th? Well, good man. So there's another good reason for doing it. The other good reason, it's short, it's only got two chapters. So when you've got a weekend, you know, we could probably manage two chapters over the weekend. But actually, it's probably more that it's not a book that we regularly hear taught. And I think sometimes on a weekend like this, it's good to do something a little bit unusual, because it can unsettle us enough for God to be able to speak and kind of get through some of those normal barriers that we like to put up to resist him speaking and us hearing. So it's a way, you know, plus as I was thinking and praying about the weekend, Haggai seemed to come to mind. So, you know, that's what we're going to do. And we're going to do it a wee bit differently. I'll explain tomorrow how you're going to work together at understanding it, and together we'll piece the whole prophecy together. And by Sunday morning, we should be able to really kind of stand back from it and see what are the main things that God seems to be saying back then through Haggai, but actually also now to the church, to us personally, to us as the church in Belmont, to us as the church in the UK, to us as part of the worldwide church. What is God saying to us through this ancient book, but one that still has relevance? I hope you enjoy, however you encounter or engage with the Bible, I hope you enjoy it. It seems to me sometimes one of our problems in the church is that we've actually made studying the Bible a little bit boring. And there are some bits of it that are tricky. But, you know, it is alive and active. It's as God, by his Spirit, takes his word, then it's supposed to do something to us, supposed to do something in us. There's this marvelous interaction that goes on between the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, the Bible, that he speaks it into our hearts and minds and transforms us through it. So that's what we're looking for God to do amongst us today. So tonight, what we're going to do is we're going to learn a bit of Haggai together, okay? It's going to keep you awake. And you're going to have a bit of fun, okay? But we're going to learn some Haggai. Now, it's interesting. A few years ago, I had the privilege of visiting China, and I met the then Catholic bishop in Shanghai. Somebody's hometown, Shanghai. Well, near Shanghai, yeah. And he had been imprisoned for his faith. He'd left China as a young priest to train in France and in Italy. And when he returned to China, the government were suspicious about why he'd come back and thought he was a spy. And he was imprisoned. When I met him, he was 91 years old. And he had spent 27 years in prison. So the prime of his adult life was spent in prison. And as he told me over dinner about his experience, he said that the way that he had kept his faith alive and had kept his sanity, particularly while he was in solitary confinement, was that he had recited John's gospel to himself because he had previously memorized John's gospel. And when he was in a situation where if he even prayed and his lips moved, the guards would beat him. So he was in a situation, he had no Bible. He was beaten if he moved his mouth as he prayed. But in his mind, he was able to recall the words of John's gospel. And as I talked to that man, you know, I just thought there was no sense of regret about his life. There was no sense of being, you know, kind of badly done to. There was no bitterness. Here was a man who had found real contentment in the Lord Jesus Christ and in his relationship with him. He had translated the New Testament into modern day Chinese because he was so concerned that young people in China should come to know Jesus as their savior. And at 91, when I met him, his only regret was that because of his age and his failing eyesight, he didn't have time to translate the Old Testament. Isn't that amazing? So you never know when you might need these verses from Haggai. Okay? I hope it's not in solitary confinement. So here we go. I have got a crib sheet, but I'm best not to use my crib sheet. Okay? So are you ready? You've got to listen because you're going to do this. Can't remember how it starts. You're going to be like this as well. I better just check. Because it's always good to get off to a good start, isn't it? So it's a good job I bring my crib sheet. I'd quite often just have this little... Ah, there we go. Here we go. You ready? This is what the Lord Almighty says. The people are saying that it's not yet the right time. The time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. Then the Lord sent this message through the prophet Haggai. Why are you living in your paneled houses while my house lies in ruin? This is what the Lord Almighty says. Look at what is happening to you. You planted much and harvested little. You eat, but are never satisfied. You drink, and you're still thirsty. You put on clothes, and you can't keep warm. Your wages disappear as if you were putting it in pockets full of holes. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Look at what is happening to you. Now, go up into the hills, cut down, bring down timber, and rebuild my house. Then I will take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. Okay? I'm going to do it again. And I've brought a few visual aids because I don't know about you, but that helps me. So, this is what the Lord Almighty says. The people are saying, the time has not yet come to rebuild my house. Then the Lord gave this message to Haggai the prophet. Why are you living in your paneled houses while my house lies in ruins? Look at what's happening to you. You planted, these are supposed to be seeds, okay? It's rice from the kitchen. You planted much and harvested little. Don't worry if you can't see it at the back, it's just a withered plant. You eat, but you're never satisfied. You drink, but you're still thirsty. You put on clothes, but you can't keep warm. Your wages disappear. You got any money on you, Derek? It's okay, sorry, sorry, here we go. Your wages disappear as if you put them in pockets full of holes. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Look at what is happening to you. Now, go up into the hills, bring down timber, and rebuild my house. Then I will take pleasure in it and be honored. Maybe it's glorified. No, honored. Then I will take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. Okay? So the visual aids are there so you can see them. Okay, that'll get you through that kind of you eat and what have you bit. Right. So what I'd like you to do, I want you to just shuffle about so you're comfortable in groups of around about four, six at the most. And one person start. This is what the Lord Almighty says, okay? So one start, and when you dry up, the others help out, okay? But we're going to get to it. So whatever else we've made of this passage, for sure it raises all sorts of different questions for us, doesn't it? And I think that's one of the things I like about it and at the same time don't like about it. Because there are so many things that you'd want to know about, well, you know, what's happening here? When did this take place? Why is God so cross with these people? We'll find out tomorrow what they actually did. But the prophecy starts with these quite sharp words. And the one thing I want you to just remember from tonight is that phrase, look and see what's happening to you. Is that what how he says it? Look at what's happening to you. My granny used to say, think on. You know, it's that kind of tap the nose, think on. Think about it. Look around. Notice what's happening. And at that point, and we'll learn a lot tomorrow about when this did actually happen, what was going on with the people of Israel, what was happening about God's house, the temple, and everything. But the one thing for tonight is, how reflective are we? Whenever you do those kind of tests about what sort of person you are, on reflection, I come out as a kind of minus. You know, I'm Mrs. Action, you know, person. I don't stop and reflect very easily or very often. But I think what God is saying to his people here is, take notice of what's going on around you and think about it in relation to me. See what's happening in your own life, in the life of your church, the life of your nation, across the globe. But think about it in relation to who I am as the Lord Almighty. This is what the Lord Almighty says. And that's a phrase that will come up again and again and again through the prophecy. So as we go towards our beds, or whatever fun and games is to happen before bed tonight, just take a moment to ask yourself, how much do I reflect on life and bring God into the picture? Because that was the call that he made to the people back then. We'll find out more about why he had to do that and what they did in response. But well done on learning part of Haggai. I think we're going to sing again, is that right?